hey, Stormy, how are we going tonight?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Good, good, good. We're, I feel there's a bit of distance between us tonight. I don't quite know why.
I don't know. Do we need to find out?
I think we do.
LeBron!
Oh, Doomy. Doomy's here. And she's got a box.
Above the table, and I was like...
I am standing on a box just like you.
Yeah.
So
you do have
making
you've got a bit of heels on too.
Oh, do I?
Clarify.
Oh, yes, I
just
do.
A tad.
But I think we're pretty much the same height.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. Well, I look up there. There we go.
You can look wherever you like. No judgment.
Okay.
I must admit, I tend to look at the
I
screen.
I look at
here.
The screen too, yeah. So I can read. Sticks, thank you for the sub.
56 Ooh! Months.
56 months.
Hi, Gamma.
He's an OG.
That is a lot. Yeah. Wow.
Love it.
How are
Love
you all doing?
See. I'm tired today.
Busy days, tired, like but, tiring mm-hmm. days.
But I'm good. I'm very good because I managed to get Friday off, which means that
extra long weekend.
Yeah, here in WA, I don't normally work Wednesdays at my job. Public holiday tomorrow for a day of mourning for the Queen. Mm-hmm. Then I got Friday off, weekend off, and in WA as well. Get this, it's the Queen's birthday public holiday on Monday.
Yeah, but can you imagine how many people are going to chuck sickies this Friday?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's going to be a lot. Like, how many, families going to take their kids away and just be like, oh, yeah. Like, sorry, we're not here Friday. And just take away the extra,
sorry,
extra long weekend.
I'm sick. I can't come.
DJ Drifter, thank you for the sub as well for 6 months.
Oh, so
I think
good.
I read an article that they're going to lose, $70 million or
I'm not surprised.
People.
It's like, look, I get it. It's a one off thing. Like,
yeah, it'll never happen again.
Well, it will eventually when King Charles passes in probably a couple of years and lets William take over the throne. But anyway.
Well, let's hope it's not coinciding with a Friday.
Well, I was going to say if they could do it on a Friday, that'd be really great. I would really appreciate it. Oh my God, what are we doing
hey,
here?
Oh my goodness.
We're talking about not good stuff.
Sorry,
but anyway, we do not wish death on anybody. But thank you for the holiday. You will be missed, Liz. It's one of those, and this I know this is not gaming related, but I thought about it as well. Like when Pope John Paul II died, because for a lot of us. He was a pope, and Queen Elizabeth II as a queen is like they're the only two people in those positions that most of us knew for that. Like Queen Elizabeth came into power in 56 or something.
It's been 70 years.
Yeah, it's a silly amount of time. It's just been so long, and it feels like a constant out of the world is gone. I'm not a monarchist. I honestly would like it if Australia was a republic, but it just kind of feels like one of those things that always there is not there anymore. But anyway, we're here, and we're going to talk about games.
Yes,
really?
Yeah, I know. I think we could talk about something else.
Reflex. Look
oh
at how
my
many
God.
Bits there are.
That is a lot.
I'm counting them. I didn't bring my glasses.
1,500.
1,500.
1,500.
And we're on a hype train.
Choo-choo.
Level 2 hype train.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
He just emptied his, change wallet. You know how, you get your coins out? He just did that on us.
Making it rain. But let's get on and talk about some stuff, because I want to talk about my bloody good game of the week.
Oh, yes.
I do. I love this game. I'm going to talk about SWTOR because I'm back on the SWTOR train.
Are you not on the SWTOR train?
Oh well, I do get sick of it every now and then because especially I'm at a point now. The new expansion came out a while back, and I've gotten a few characters through that. But just bear in mind, I have 19 characters in SWTOR, so trying to get them all up to the level cap and through the story is a little bit tedious sometimes, so I take breaks from it quite regularly. But one of the good things, this latest expansion, it developed the ability to change classes. So there's a lot of – it used to be that the class that you picked at the beginning, that kind of pigeonholes you into what you were going to be. So there's Jedi Knight, Jedi Consular – trooper and smuggler on the Republic side, and then in the Empire side there was Sith warrior, Sith inquisitor, bounty hunter, and agent, Imperial agent. And they had certain abilities that were locked to certain classes. But at the with the launch of Legacy of the Sith, which is some of the footage that we're seeing from, this is the final boss fight in the latest Flashpoint, which is four-person content. They brought the ability so that you could pick any class for your character. So your story is no longer linked to the class, which is an amazing thing for me, because all these alt characters that I've got, I can pick a class that has stealth on it and just stealth it up and walk past all those trash mobs and not have to deal with them. I love that.
Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly. But it also means other things, like you can have a bit more flexibility in your characters. So you've got your standard tank, DPS and healing. Well, if your group suddenly needs a healer, you can switch class on the fly through loadouts and move from being a DPS or a tank to a healer.
Nice.
So it's good. I enjoy the game. This was 10th anniversary celebration for SWTOR. This is a 10-year-old game. But there was some expectations that there'd be a little bit more for it. But, I mean, this was being developed in COVID times, people working from home. And I tell you what, I'm loving the story that they've got going at the moment, because the big bad guy in it and fighting in this boss fight is a character called Darth Malgus. And, like, he has been there since the beginning of SWTOR. And it's just, I love him as a character. And if they kill him off, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I'm going to probably ask a very obvious question here, but is the stuff that happens in SWTOR, is this all canon to the Star Wars universe? Or is this own separate thing?
It kind of sits in a little grey area. So SWTOR was going before Disney purchased Star Wars. But it kind of sits far enough back from everything. So this is a few hundred years after the Knights of the Old Republic game. So for those that know those, we're talking like Revan type stuff. And Revan does feature a fair bit in SWTOR. So it's far enough removed from the stuff that Disney's doing.
Yeah.
And it's still making money, so it's still going. So I think Disney's just sort of let it exist in its own little universe, and the game does its own thing. So it's probably, if push came to shove, it's probably going to be in the Legends category, so not canon.
Yeah.
I don't care. I have fun.
Yeah. It's good. Oh, no, I was just curious, because obviously you're dealing with a whole bunch of, you know, different characters that, I mean, I haven't seen before. I just wondered if, you know, they had made appearances in, like, you know, the original trilogy, or, like, exist still within that universe, whether it's its own separate thing. But that's really cool.
There's little things that carry across, like in Rise of Skywalker, which was the last Star Wars movie to be released, it was like a platoon or something in the big battle at the end there that was called Revan. So they do little things, like they take the name of it and that sort of thing. But not a huge amount. And, like, people like to draw those long cannon bows, like, oh, they've said, they've used the name, oh, go away, Ad. they've used the name Revan, that must mean the KOTOR games are canon now. Again, no, that doesn't mean that, they've just used the name.
It's really all right, settle down now.
But that's my bloody good game of the week, SWTOR, Star Wars The Old Republic. And it's got free-to-play stuff. So, like, you can play up to
nothing to lose then.
Yeah, well, that's it. You don't have to spend any money. I think up to the original level cap was 50, and I think up to level 65 now is free to play. Yeah, so you can go in and enjoy the first couple of expansions with
surely
it as well.
Surely by the time you've gotten to that point, you're like, yeah, I'm committed to this
game. Yeah, you know if you like it by level 65.
Well, you say that. Like, when I played the vanilla content of Final Fantasy 14, and I like that game, but I've only got time enough in my life for one MMO. And as much fun as I had with Final Fantasy 14, SWTOR's was my first MMO, and it's still my MMO love. I'll go back to that every day of the week.
I'm just going to quickly look at the chat as well. Gamma, thank you for the 100 bits as well. Also, thank you to everyone who was part of that hype train as well. Much appreciated. Hi, Arion, how you doing?
And that is it. Oh, Gamma also says my bloody good game of the week has to be Metal Hellsinger, which was yours last week.
Yes, we're gonna talk about that later on because I need to talk more about it. I love that game so much. But before we do that, we've got Stormy's bloody good game of the week.
Yeah, so I've been reminiscing a little bit about when I started gaming. So for those who do or don't know me, I didn't really pick up a game for myself. Like a single player one for myself until like very late. Cause I was quite studious. I only played like, you know, the usual, you know, Wii Sports with your family, like that kind of thing. But I was about 17, I think, when I picked up Arkham City. And it was the first game I picked up just for myself to play in my own time, to relax, blah, blah, blah. And I want to say this is probably the game that kind of catapulted me into going, oh my God, what have I been missing out on? You know,
what a game
so
to do it with.
Years. Yeah. It's a really, like, look at it now. Like, it's still, I still think it's fantastic. Batman Arkham City, so it came out in 2011. And, oh my God, that means it's over 10 years now. I'm just realizing that.
The animations of his cape are very impressive.
Yeah. Well, I must admit, this video that we're watching at the moment, I think it said it was in 4K as well. So yeah. I think they've done some upscaling it somewhere along the line.
Still, like, the actual gameplay itself, because when Spider-Man came out, there's obviously very heavy influences from the way in terms of the gadgets that he uses and just the overall mechanics in terms of takedowns and things like that. Very, very similar. Like, I was under the impression, the obviously incorrect impression, it was done by the same teams, but they weren't, because I just felt like, oh my God, this is Batman, but Spider-Man. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
This is the first game that I saw Harley Quinn in ever. Mm-hmm. So that was my first introduction to her.
Love it first sight.
Yeah. I loved her outfit. I was convinced that was going to be my first cosplay at one point. But it didn't. I thought she was such an interesting character. Obviously finding out that Mark Hamill did the voice of the Joker was also like a really cool thing. And that's when I started realizing just how I was, obviously, if we're going back to Star Wars for a second, that's where I know I'm from. Didn't realize how involved he was with the voice acting side of things until I played this game and I was like, oh my God, he's actually done so much stuff and he's such a great actor, you know, rather than just Luke Skywalker, you know? And then from this, like, I guess I just want to talk about the Arkham games in general for the bloody good game of the week, because the story is so, so good. And, you know, I was convinced that DC did like superhero games best, like when these came out. Like, there was just no Marvel game at the time that just met that same kind of quality in the storytelling, the mechanics, like just the overall gameplay. So, so good. My only thing is with Arkham Knight, it was fantastic story, really great story. I remember getting that one on launch, I think.
Was that the Red Hood one? Because there was like
a twist ending that I'm putting in there
that everybody hated.
Without spoiling anything, it is the one though, and I think a lot of people will may relate to what I'm about to say, way too much Batmobile. Batmobile's great. It was great the first one. And I love going around the city in this, but when every big fight that started coming around was all centered around the bloody Batmobile. All I wanted to do was just do like hand-to-hand combat, you know, you're like gadget fighting, all of that stuff. That's kind of where I felt like Arkham Knight for me felt like it fell a bit short. But it was still a really good game. I mean, I liked the story. Like, this was my, apart from watching the, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy and stuff, I didn't really delve into the Batman lore that much. Mm-hmm. So playing through Arkham City and Arkham Knight, but that's one exactly. Is that the one with major spoiler in it? No, it's been long enough. I don't know. I was trying to like tiptoe around a little bit, but it's fine. It's okay, Jim.
But I just said there was a twist at the end that people didn't like. So and here's the thing though.
I thought it was cool.
With spoilers though, like if something's more than a few years old. Like,
we got to let it slide.
Yeah, that's it. You can't be worried that people are going to get spoiled. If it's a really good twist, like maybe you might sit there and go, like, when The Sixth Sense came out, like you wouldn't.
Oh, I haven't seen The Sixth Sense. Hold on.
Yeah, But like that's something that like it's a movie you got to be watch a couple of times to get like see just because when you get to the twist at the end,
like like the movie you're also not supposed to talk about.
Which one was that one?
Fight Club.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's one of the rules of Fight Club. You're not supposed to talk about it.
Is there a Fight
Club? I'll talk
game?
About Fight Club.
Yeah, anyway, sorry. Yeah. I'm going off topic. But yeah, sorry if you got spoiled. Should have played it sooner. But this is what really propelled me into getting into games. Like, I think I picked this up the same time that the same time I picked Arkham City up was the same time I picked up the first Injustice game, and that itself had a fantastic story because I was under the impression it was just going to be Mortal Kombat but DC, and that was it. But I wasn't aware of the level of how great, like, the story, like the campaign and stuff was as well.
Even like the Injustice storyline in comics in general was is just really good.
So good. But yeah, I would just say, I don't know, I'm just reminiscing. I'm being a bit sentimental. This is, you know, looking at this makes me want to go back and play it again because I have nothing but fond memories of it. And again, maybe a bit of bias there, but it still has to be one of my favorites. So,
but just the gameplay in it, like, I think the only one I played was Arkham Asylum. Was that the first one that it was? But just like the way you could either, if you liked fighting, you could dive in and fight, or you could like stealthily do it. You could hang from the rafters and just, you know, scare the shit out of people. Yeah. It was just so much fun.
I think, like, looking back, that's probably why I enjoyed it, because you could play it in any way that kind of spoke to you, like what we're doing here. You could go really stealthily. Oh, no, he's not going stealthily. But, like, you know, you could do, like, silent takedowns if you really wanted to go down that route. Or, you know, you could just go in there and, like, use all your gadgets and stuff like that too.
Yeah.
But I can see why you might have thought that they were involved with Spider-Man, because the gameplay looks similar.
Even, like, the things from, like, the gadgets or the takedowns and stuff, like, so, so similar. Like,
even flying around the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is, like, obviously the combo, it just has, like, the times one or whatever, but that builds other things for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So I
think it's really – it's got a great story. Gameplay is really fun. And then, I guess it's the same thing that everyone says about, you know, Spider-Man. Like, you feel like Batman going around the city. Mm-hmm. But you do. It's done really, really well.
That's great.
And then I guess this would lead into – obviously we've got Gotham Knights coming out the end of October. I'm interested to see how that ties in with the rest of the Arkham universe. So, the Arkham games in general are my bloody good games of the week.
Nice.
Well, speaking of my love for vehicles. And
that's a really good segue.
Talking about the Batmobile, my bloody good game of the week, and every week for that matter, is Forza Horizon 5. I have been playing that game nonstop since I must say.
It looks very pretty.
Have you played?
I know I did download it from Xbox Game Pass at one point.
It's on Game Pass, guys.
But I never got around to playing it.
Right.
I had
a 4, but I hadn't picked up 5 yet. I'm sorry.
Why am I here? No, it's fine.
Did you get the controller as well?
Yeah, the controller.
I do remember the controller quite vividly, though. It is very nice.
It is very nice.
Is that the yellow?
Yes, it's yellow, blue, pink, sort of. Yeah, it looks like a tire, sort of mud.
Like the splash, splatter. That's it.
And then the yellow part is sort of a little bit see-through. So I loved that they released that controller with the game. And you also got an exclusive in-game item for your character as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because it would have been one of the first special edition Xbox controllers then for the Series X?
I think so.
Yeah, because otherwise I think before that there was just the Halo one that came with the console.
Mm. Didn't get released.
Everything else has sort of come as an addition. They haven't come out at the same time as the game.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So you could pre-order Forza Horizon 5 and you could also pre-order the controller before it came out.
That's
generally what a pre-order is. You order it before it comes out.
Yeah, I was saying I love that 5 still includes Australian made cars, and it is so good.
Is this your favourite one?
I loved 4. The most.
You reckon 4 is your favourite? If you had to pick your favourite, I know you like a lot of them. But
then Forza Horizon 5 has the new Hot Wheels DLC, and I love that. Oh my gosh, I could play that all day. Forza Horizon 5 is my bloody good game of the week, and I'm very excited for their 10-year anniversary. So Forza Horizon 1, the very first one, was released 10 years ago.
Oh wow.
So on October 10th, 11th, they're going to be releasing exclusive update do the game, which will involve stories that reference the previous games. You'll be able to unlock cars, and I can't wait. It's going
to
be awesome.
I'd really like to know, how did you get into Forza? Because you've obviously been a big fan of the franchise. Like, what was your first experience with it, like, when you started playing? Do you remember?
I had seen other people playing it, but I hadn't. But when it came to Game Pass, that's when I first played it. And then I went back and I played other ones. So
that's awesome.
It's one of those games that is just, it's not too hard. You can pick it up, you can put it down. It's not like an epic sort of story that you have to grind or anything like that. And yeah, and it's really fun with friends.
And is it more the Horizon stuff you like over the motorsport? Like, or do you dabble in the motorsport at all?
Yeah, I've played some motorsport, but Forza Horizon is probably the best. It's open world. Why wouldn't you love it? Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah. Both of the games have photo mode, and you can take some amazing shots in motorsport as well.
Mm.
I am looking forward to Motorsport 8, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So that's all our bloody good games of the week. Thank you, Aussie Broadband, for that segment.
Thanks, Aussie Broadband.
And for giving us internet.
Hi, Aussie Broadband.
I'm just having a quick read of the comments. Gamma says Forza 5 is great driving new and classic cars. Arion still needs to play Forza 5. And they loved 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. Doormat just goes car game, thumbs up.
Yay!
And then Gamma said exactly the same. Love that 5 still includes Australian made games, and drifting and burnouts are super fun.
I'm terrible at drifting. And just so you know,
I'm great at drifting in Mario Kart.
Arion's
there's a button.
That's the only thing I'm good at drifting
button,
at.
That's why.
Arion says their bloody good game of the week is Risk of Rain 2 and Red Dead Online. So, please keep telling us what your bloody good games of the week are. We'd love to know.
Mm-hmm.
I love finding new things to play too. So,
Carrying on a little bit of the bloody good game of the week theme here, I've got a little bit of news to talk about from my bloody good game of the week from last week, which was Metal Health Singer. So Gamma was mentioning that a little bit earlier in chat, and it is such a good game. And once again, on Game Pass, so go play it if you haven't already. Like, just the way everything melds together, like the songs, the gameplay, the weapons and the different variations that they have there, it's so much fun and you should go play it. But one thing that the devs announced is coming soon, it's not here just yet, but they're going to introduce the ability to put in custom songs.
Nice.
Modders being modders have not been able to wait. So
I can imagine they
have modded Metal Hellsinger and put in Sweet Home Alabama.
Are you a country music fan?
I don't mind a bit of country. Like, I do like the Eagles.
Is that country music?
They started off country.
Yeah, but would you say, oh, yeah, country music, the Eagles.
Well, I mean, Taylor Swift started off country as well, yeah, and then she got poppy.
Okay, all right. I'll
yeah. So did Kings of Leon. Like, you go listen to Kings of Leon stuff before Sex on Fire, and you will see
quite
a huge. Wow. Like, they were almost like Dixie sort of country.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway,
Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah, I do like Sweet Home Alabama. I do like Lynyrd Skynyrd, like Freebird. Yes, I like Freebird. Everybody likes Freebird. West Virginia, Mountain Mama. That's John Denver, by the way, for those not playing
John
at home. Let's take me home country road.
Yeah, Fallout 76, the main thing.
I know.
But there's a couple of caveats with this mod, though. So what they've been able to do is remove one of the songs and add this one in. What that actually meant for the game, though, is that they had to find a song that was the same tempo as one of the songs in the game, because otherwise,
I can't just add California Girls by Katy Perry.
Well, it depends. I don't know what the tempo of that song is. Maybe you could.
Maybe if it matches.
But Country Road, for instance, probably isn't a good one to put in there. But
it's a bit slow.
Yeah. But I kind of like the idea of blasting demons to take me home, Country Road. Almost heaven.
It would be like
West Virginia.
That scene from Kingsman, then, wouldn't it?
Mm. Yes.
Oh, I'm just. Are we talking about like the Kingsman scene in the church? Because like now I just I want Freebird.
Oh no, playing. That's not what I meant. But that's also spoilers. I think I haven't seen it. But everyone says that song makes them sad because of Kingsman 2.
Oh yes, that's right. No, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, yes, yeah. Yeah.
Gemma said blasting demons to Men at Work, like, down under.
Yeah. What do you reckon would be a good song to blast demons to?
Like
I won't say a specific song, but something by Queen, like Up-Tempo Queen.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Like, Don't Stop Me Now.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. Or Princes of the Universe. Do you guys remember the movie Highlander? There can be only one, and like they cut off their heads.
I know, but they made
a TV show of Highlander, and it followed another McLeod, not Connor McLeod, Duncan McLeod. That was a theme song to the Highlander TV show with Princes of the Universe, and I could see that happening. But I just find it funny that the people just decided, cool, I want to slay demons to my own music, and we can't wait for the support to come for us. So we're going to do it ourselves, damn it.
Yeah. That's awesome. We should have a podcast where when they do release it, we just...
What song you put on there?
Oh, how about we do it on stream? You couldn't know, could you? Not favorite songs.
You could not record the VOD. That might be all right.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation for another time. I'm getting too excited. The idea.
Maybe a snippet.
Because there's like a fair use thing you could. Like, I guess it depends on how you use it. But anyway. That's it.
See how we go. Play it by ear.
But yeah, you know, some people got a little bit impatient there, decided to do it for themselves.
I think it's great. Anything is possible these days.
That's right. Something else that people got a little... Well, one... People in particular got impatient for. So we've had a couple of leaks, or at least a couple of leak-related news in the last week or so. So there was... a while back, there was a leak about upcoming Assassin's Creed game. And it's been noted because, like, I find this one interesting because the guy outed himself. So there was a Twitter account called The Real Insider which leaked this information. And it turns out that was a Australian games journalist, Dan Allen Gaming. But the way he did it to me was just silly because those that do have multiple social media accounts, you know that you can swap between them and whatnot. Mm. He forgot to swap back to the Real Insider. Yeah, that's how he got outed. Oh, like, he posted as the Real Insider from his Dan Allen Gaming Twitter.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's always been, not in regards to leaks, but like having like my personal account and then also having my gaming account and posting the wrong thing somewhere. It's really easy to do if you're not paying attention. Mm. But when you're doing something incredibly
incriminating,
pretty much.
Maybe
like this.
Just triple check everything.
Yeah, but nah. I mean, look, I don't like. Did we really think that they were going to keep this up for so long? Like, these kind of things just come out of the dark.
Like, well, that's it. And like, you can delete it as soon as you can. But if someone gets a screenshot of that, they notice. And like this one in particular, because Dan Allen Gaming got journalist access to in particular the Assassin's Creed story, and I know our editor-in-chief Royce Wilson was very unhappy when that got leaked because he'd spent hours putting the story together.
So much preparation goes into these releases, and for someone to just say, "Oh, hey, this is what it is."
Well, I think anyone also working in this industry as well would be like, not even in terms of leaks, but you know, when we have to review games and stuff like that, and we have to abide by the terms in place to make sure that they get posted at the same time.
Yeah.
And for one person to ruin it, well, like, basically ruin it for everyone else, it's like we all kind of feel it, you know. So I think everyone would have been feeling
I believe there's a difference here, though, because, like, quite often we get embargoes with reviews. So you're not allowed to release the review or really talk about it until after the embargo date. Mm-hmm. But I think with this, once again, this one particular case with the Assassin's Creed stuff, there was an NDA signed. So a non-disclosure agreement is a very legally binding document that says you agree to do all this and not talk about it until you're ready to talk about it. And I think Dan Allen's in for a little bit of hurt coming, at least from Ubisoft anyway.
I'm sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say GTA is actually quite close to my heart because it's one of the first games that I ever played. I used to GTA 1 when it was like top down bird's eye view. You were a little teeny tiny little pixel, and like your little bullets were like little dots on the screen. And yeah, like I personally have stayed away, or I try and stay away from leaks. So yeah, I really didn't want to ruin it for myself. Because I know a lot of people have sort of gone on the bandwagon of, oh, look at this, it's crap already.
Well, that's kind of taking us into like exactly what you're talking about as well. Because, I mean, we know because we obviously we're excited to watch the development of these games come around as well.
Yeah.
That the stuff that is out of GTA 6 that's been linked is obviously very early stages. Mm-hmm. But not everyone is kind of, what's the nice way to say it, like to catch on to the fact that this isn't the final product. Like, this isn't anywhere close. Like, this, like, GTA 6 is still so early. Like, I feel like it was not only, like, it wasn't that long ago where they're like, yeah, it is coming.
Yeah.
We're working on it. But then that was it. And, like, people, I've seen some people online, for whatever reason, taking it so personally, being, oh, how dare they, like, not show us this stuff? And it's like, because it's not ready yet, babe.
Yeah.
Like, they're like,
did you work on this? Yeah. No, you didn't.
And, like, people trying to justify themselves in ridiculous ways as well to say that, you know, we should be entitled to see this early thing, but like
no, but that was the same, you know, in regards to, you know, God of War, you know, and that there was all that stuff with, you know, the very intimate photos that were sent to devs and devs being harassed for footage and things like that for God of War, or the release date.
Calm down, Jesus. I remember hearing about it, but my calm down was like, Jesus Christ, people, just calm the farm, sit down, it's a video game.
Yeah, but like I think the social media is just so awful.
Yeah, awful as well.
There's so much happening, and you know, devs obviously they want to promote their games. They work really hard. They're really passionate. We are all passionate about this.
Yeah.
So we want to share that with everyone, and I think, you know, devs, game producers, whoever it is, when they're in such a, I guess, a public space, it does leave them open to this sort of thing, and potentially, you know, other people like our friend, not really, over there, has taken advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah. I think as like creatives ourselves as well, you want to put your best work out.
Yeah.
So when people are stupid enough to leak stuff like this, I feel so bad for everyone that's been working on it, and like their work, like they're not ready to show it yet, obviously.
Yeah,
and
that's
like,
right.
Whoever thought that they had the right to be like, oh yeah, we're going to show it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It makes me feel kind of sick in the stomach to think that, you know, that's what they felt like they had to do.
Yeah.
So there's one thing that I want to show, because I don't know if it was in response to some of the GTA 6 stuff people saying.
Yeah, it was a good move.
Yeah, they said, you know, graphics are the first thing you work on. So, but
I actually love this.
Yeah, so I love seeing this as well, because and just as a side note, like, if you got to come up with the concept for a game first before you start working with the graphics. The graphics is the polish. All that looks good, like you make it look good after you've got the game working properly, because you don't want to put all that effort into the graphics and then find out, oh shit, the game we're building doesn't work.
Yeah, it looks pretty though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, it's great, because that's why we buy a game. But this, I do love that this was shared by Cult of the Lamb. So this was some early footage compared with later footage. So you can see
release
on
footage, yeah.
I'll let you guys guess which one was the early footage and which one was the later footage. But I think it's quite apparent there. Like, and the early game footage has none of the cute looks that the game ended up with. But this is what I'm getting at. They build the game, they get the mechanics working properly first, and then you add the polish.
I love the fact that Cult of the Lamb tweeted this themselves.
And yeah.
Like, what was the caption that they put on the post? I can't remember. I think it might actually be in the tweet. That's why I think it was a dig.
Graphics are the first thing finished in a video game.
And then they were like, here's what the early versions of Cult of the Lamb looked like.
Yeah.
So I kind of like seeing the behind the scenes of this stuff. I mean, I always used to like watching the behind the scenes movies and seeing all special effects and stuff come to life. But watching the development of a game or the early stages of a game and where they started to where they are now, it's so fascinating. Mm. But you can understand why people want to wait until it looks good before they show it off.
Yeah.
I
love Cult of the Lamb.
Oh, have you played it?
Yeah, it's so fun.
Oh, I've been like, it's on my wish list. I think I'm going to have to ask for it for my birthday.
It is so fun.
Yeah, I heard it's really good.
Mm. I have not, but it kind of combines two genres of games that I'm not a huge fan of in roguelikes and like farm, like Animal Crossing style game. I'm not a huge fan of that.
I'm going to call you out a little though, because what was it you tweeted last week?
Just wait, because I was going to talk about, I was going to mention that to you earlier, because there, I did start enjoying Disney Dreamlight Valley. And I played it for a few, like I played it to start with and I went, oh yeah, it's all right. And then I started getting into it more and more.
That is like the peak.
But no, but that's the problem I got then. Instead of, I got to a point where I couldn't drive the story forward until I did a shit ton of farming. And because I was playing it at night, the characters I needed to talk to do stuff were asleep. And I've just gone, I don't have time for this shit it and stop playing.
No, it means you have to take a break. You can't, I think that's very healthy for a game.
It does, but it also means that I'm not, it's trying to tell me to go to bed like, and Jim, I'm not ready to go to bed yet.
When the mouse is asleep, it's time for your sleep time
that's
too.
That's correct. Mickey Mouse.
Rodents do not dictate my sleeping habits. Thank you very much.
Look, there was something very satisfying to see your tweet about like,
yeah.
Oh
yeah, actually maybe I am. Oh,
look, like I think it's definitely got some good points there, but when you're trying to farm for specific things, like I get back to a point, and I have this a little bit in Minecraft. Like I have fun in Minecraft. I do my own thing, but trying to work out stuff like recipes and all the crafting stuff is like you basically have to sit there with a web browser open saying, how do I build this? Or how do I cook this? And like that's not fun for me.
Okay. Don't ask what I did when I refused to look at, like, did you make the ratatouille?
Yes.
Instead of actually being the responsible gamer that I am and looking up how to do the recipe, I just sat there giving different combinations of ingredients until I got it. So I sat there for like 20 minutes.
Was that when you recruited Remy?
Yeah.
Because he tells you how to make it.
He doesn't tell you all the ingredients though.
No, no, I definitely I remember making the ratatouille because I've recruited Remy.
Yeah.
He's in my little village.
Okay.
But anyway.
Anyways, sorry, getting off track again.
But
Wait, before we leave this topic, what's your favourite Disney character?
You can't just have one. Like,
well, you have your ultimate Disney movie that you've seen, you know, 100 times or whatever.
Well, I could say Tron for that because I absolutely adored Tron as a kid.
I don't think Tron is in Disney Dreamlight.
I don't. Well, not yet.
they might build a mod for it.
Or they'll just realize that this game is targeted more towards adults, and eventually they'll just bring it. Like, because Merlin's one of the first characters you meet, and I did look it up last time, and I think it's like 60s he's from. Mm. So they brought in Merlin, which Sword in the Stone I watched a lot as a kid as well. Mad Madam Mim, love her.
Oh yeah, she was so scary actually.
Mm. Especially like the wizard battle where like her and Merlin just start turning into things.
You couldn't do that these days.
No, you could. You just have to do it in a different like. Okay. We can't do that and scare the kids, but we can have the first 5 minutes of Up.
Yes, that's true.
We can scar them for life with real life situations.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway,
but we can have Finding Nemo where the mum dies in the first 5 minutes. Yeah. And just,
I'm gonna cry. Please stop.
But anyway,
Where were we?
We were showing some previous stuff from Cult of the Lamb. Not previous, but some early
builds. You don't like farming games, so you went play Cult of the Lamb.
Yeah, well, and I'm not a fan of roguelikes either. And like, Cult of the Lamb sort of seems to me as a game that was made for streaming. Because like you,
it has got a Twitch integration.
Yeah, it has that really good Twitch integration.
But not on the Xbox, only on the PC.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
I didn't know.
That's good to know.
I didn't know that. And
did you get it for Xbox?
And I got both. So you're welcome, Devolver Digital and Cult of the Lamb. You're welcome. I gave you $90.
But yeah, look, just getting back onto the leaks, like it's
just wait and be patient.
Yeah, well, that's it. And it hurts the devs. They're seeing something that they worked on, they're very proud of, and something that's not quite ready to come out. Like it's just. It hurts me in my soul. Like, why not just leave them alone? Let them do their thing. Like, because I get visions of stuff like Cyberpunk. Like, and yes, there were some other pressures behind the scenes. Like, the company wanted them to release it. And even going back further, like Anthem. Like, I know Anthem is Anthem. It is what it is. But the open world bit where you're flying around in your Iron Man mech suit – I absolutely adored that part of the game. I had so much fun.
I don't think you're the only one.
No, I don't think I am either, but it was just, it like, and I can see that being really, really cool. And hopefully it's something we're going to get a little bit more of, because we found out this week that EA are working with Motive to make an Iron Man game, a third person Iron Man game. This is, I want
Iron Man
this.
Is my favorite, by the way. I'm still not over his death, but you know.
Spoilers? No, it's been a long time.
That's everywhere. Everybody knows that.
No, just quietly. I see you in chat. No, Arian, it wasn't called a javelin. It's an Iron Man suit and will forever be an Iron Man suit. Wait, that's in Anthem.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay. But yes. No, I
always wondered about that name.
Javelin?
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. Where does the name come from? Like, it's an Iron Man suit. It's a mech suit. You could call it like a Robotech suit. Do you guys remember that Robotech anime? Probably a little bit before your time, but basically there was a Robotech saga, but they had a ship. I forget the name of the ship, but it was a fighter ship and would transform into a robot as well.
So Transformers,
pretty much. But there was a person inside it. It was controlling it. Yeah.
I am trying not to be too biased, but any new Marvel game is quite exciting for me, being a big Marvel fan that I am. But I think what excites me the most about this is EA have said it's a all-new single-player tick. Oh, not that I don't like multiplayer games, but obviously their last multiplayer game was not good. So single-player, third-person action-adventure, which is really, really cool. I always wondered after they did Iron Man VR whether they would tiptoe into actually doing a non-VR Iron Man game. It says here on their website the team's being led by Oliver. I want to say it's
Prolo. And it's Olivia too. Olivia.
I didn't bring my glasses.
Olivia, sorry. Hang on, I'll zoom in a bit more.
Oh, sorry. I forgot my glasses.
Is that better?
Where's
his name now?
There we go. Oh, I can read it now. Who has worked on the Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy game?
I love that game.
Oh my god, wasn't that so good? So that already, I'm ready for. So Motive is the same people who are behind the new Dead Space game, and I think I saw Star Wars Squadrons.
Yes.
So I'm feeling really excited by this, because at D23 as well, they announced I can't remember the official title, but it didn't have one. It was the Captain America and Black Panther game. Which I think there's four characters that you can play as.
Yeah.
You don't play T'Challa, you play T'Challa's grandfather. So it's really cool because the setting they put it in is really unique. Obviously, we've got the new, they didn't say this at D23, but talking about other Marvel games like this year, it's had so many date changes, but I think Midnight Suns is now coming out at the end of this year. Yeah. They've obviously announced Wolverine, which will be ages away, I reckon. The new Spider-Man, sequel that will have Venom in it.
Yeah.
It's really exciting because, you know, obviously after, unfortunately, we can't talk about those and not talk about Marvel's Avengers. Mm-hmm. That had a lot of potential, but just obviously didn't meet the cut. But I'm excited for the future of these Marvel games, as long as they still do what Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy did and have a really great core story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it
should be promising. But even the gameplay in Guardians of the Galaxy was quite unique because... Yeah,
between the characters.
Yeah, but going into it, I'm sitting here, this is like the perfect title for like a squad game.
Well, I think, And
just the way they did the controls where you only, you mainly control Peter Quill and then can command the Pretty other guys much. To do stuff. It was just fun.
I think the concept behind it, in terms of the way that you basically are the leader of this team, you know, delegating tasks and actions to the other characters, and to put him in your shoes through the game in terms of the way it plays, but also through the story, which was done so well.
I think honestly, really good. All of those parts of the game will translate really well to this story, because we all know Tony Stark loves technology, and I can imagine that the gadgets that I don't know if you might craft them or something like that, will lead into you, okay, I can control this robot, this aeroplane, this whatever it is.
Gamey Game Face says, I think I should try this Guardians game. I'm not too familiar with the Marvel Universe. Reckon I'll pick up on it. I can say yes. So one of my dear friends of mine, who I won't name because I won't call him out because he hates Marvel, like MCU stuff. Not a fan, doesn't care for it at all. Got to play Guardians of the Galaxy. Loved it. And like he, like, so gamey game face, like had like knew nothing kind of about it, went in blind and really, really enjoyed it. So I definitely think it's worth giving a go if you get a chance to pick it up. Also, hello and welcome to the podcast.
Definitely.
but yeah, I mean, I'm again trying not to be too biased, but just because I have a friend of mine who couldn't care less for Marvel, picked up the game and said they really enjoyed it, I think that's a good testament to it's how also, good a game it is.
Yeah, it's also separate from the MCU as well, so it doesn't exist in that universe. It's its own thing, which I think helps as well.
I think I'm really excited for Iron Man and everything that you said as well, Doom, about, you know, the like how far could we go as Tony Stark, as Iron Man, to craft things and all of that.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that far ahead. And I can hear you talking about it. I'm going, that could be really exciting.
No, I'm picking up from, you know, what the gameplay style was like in Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy. Like that just makes sense to me. But I hope, and I really am a fan of Tony Stark's charm, his humor. Yeah. That's what he's known for. I hope that they can really nail that. Because if they don't, it may come off as a little bit cheesy.
Kind of like and I hate to bring it up because I am looking forward to the game, but it wasn't until I heard the first person narration of Forspoken where I was like, oh, this is coming off really cheesy and like corny.
But even some of the one-liners from Gotham Knights. I was a little bit. I was like, oh, okay. Like maybe I can get past it since those sorts of comments from like the bad guys don't really make the story. But in the sense of Tony Stark, his dialogue will really need to nail it.
I think it's really interesting when you're already kind of working with recognizable IP. You know, like Tony Stark, for example. That's a lot of pressure, I guess, for people to be able to not exactly replicate what was in the movies but still have it be its own thing and feel authentic.
Well, so because there was a bit of a discussion about that when Marvel's Avengers came out and how people were put off by it's Captain America but it's not Chris Evans, or it's Iron Man but it's not Robert Downey Jr. But none of that conversation kind of happened around Guardians of the Galaxy.
Because Peter didn't look anything like the Peter in the movies.
Because it was from a previous time. So I guess they had more of a
The Guardians of the Galaxy game, that came out only a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
No, but that was a younger version, wasn't it?
No, it was about the same.
But it's in its own universe too. Yeah. Like it has no ties. Like is there still been time passed between when he was, and this is not a spoiler, it's just backstory, but when he was taken from Earth to meet the I think the Guardians themselves would have just been like a fresh formed team, but that's what the movies were too. So I think it's all kind of set like maybe a bit after the team was established. But if we're talking about looks, if that's what you're talking about, because people were like,
yeah, I think it's more like about Chris the looks. Evans
Look like whatever. Didn't look like Chris Pratt, and I still thought he looked fantastic.
But that's it's a funny thing because, like, I don't know whether people were looking at the fact that EA were making this and they knew it was going to be a live service game and were just hating on it already. Maybe. So they were picking everything. Whereas the Guardians of the Galaxy game kind of came out of nowhere. Like, they announced it, and 2 or 3 months later, it was there. And it was good. And I think I think a game that people enjoy will get a pass a lot more than it could be the best technical game in the world. But if it's got crappy things like microtransactions and that sort of stuff in it, people just won't enjoy it. And they'll find reasons to say bad things about it, I guess.
So I guess only time will tell, because as far as I'm aware, they've just announced it, but they haven't got any ETAs on this one yet. I reckon it'll still be a while before we see anything, but I think for Marvel fans who are also gamers, this is a good time to be a gamer.
I think so too.
I love it. I need to get myself a PlayStation so I can play the Spider-Man games.
Oh man, that's the only reason I really got a PlayStation, to be honest. It was just
Do you have a PC?
I'm not spending $125 on a 2 or 3 year old game.
Well, if you do get a PlayStation, you can always borrow my copy of Spider-Man. Yeah.
Well, see, even that, I wouldn't mind going buying it because it's like $40 if I want to go and buy it.
Oh, I don't even think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably get it cheaper than that.
Yeah, I reckon.
But so this is something we didn't have in our notes, but it is something that I will talk about till I'm blue in the face. screw Sony and they're porting their games to PC and charging $125 for a game that's 3 or 4 years old.
Do you know what? I actually, for a photo I was taking, I only own copies of PlayStation games that are exclusive.
Oh, okay.
So, because my primary console is
Xbox.
And I have a copy of the Spider-Man 1, the game, and it says only on PlayStation.
Mm, yeah.
On the front of the box.
Like my Horizon copy as well, my first one.
So, but obviously that hasn't come to PC yet.
It's not the first one.
It's I don't think the first one's
on the PC. First Spider-Man.
No, the first Horizon.
Oh, Horizon.
I don't think that's come to PC.
Oh, no, Horizon. Yeah, the first Horizon's on PC.
Okay.
If it's not, it's definitely close. But I'm pretty sure it is.
So it's very interesting that
it is.
It's obviously something they weren't thinking of 4 years ago.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. It feels like something to me that Sony's gone, oh shit! Look at all the money Microsoft's making by putting their games on PC as well.
Maybe.
How can we do that? I know. Let's get a game that's 2 or 3 years old, and we're going to release it for full price. And here's the thing, like the games are good. They're still good. Like if you haven't played them before, quite possibly they could be worth that amount. But particularly on PC, like games don't cost that much.
I think this is something that Royce our editor in chief at Goa had said on Twitter just recently as well. Like in relation to what he said, but. If we were living in an ideal world where we all didn't have to worry about money and, you know, they were charging full price for Spider-Man and PC, then why not? Mm. But then, you know, I think on the other side of the conversation, we're looking at, like, you know, the average gamer, whatever it is, who, you know, working, you know, all, you know, paying bills, doing jobs, all ever, and obviously games are more of like a luxury, like for leisure and stuff like that.
Especially at the moment.
Yeah, especially even the last couple of years and stuff as well. Everyone's taken a bit of a hit from it. That's when I think we can obviously argue and be like, "This is a little bit steep," you know. And we've had conversations and discussions on this before, you know. But it happens like even not just Sony, but I'm sure like on the Xbox store there are some games, and I think this is kind of similar to what Dormat's saying as well. Some of the older Call of Duty titles, or like Black Ops 3, for example, on the Xbox. It's still really expensive.
Yeah, but I will say those are games that require maintenance, that online maintenance.
Yeah.
So if they said, okay, you can, well, if they just released, you know, the campaign and the online multiplayer wasn't supported, then I would say yes, most definitely.
Wow.
Rude. I would say most definitely that's too much. But, you know, these games still require updating and things like that. But a single person a game like Spider-Man released on a different platform, I think it's a lot. Yeah. But I could be biased because people see me as Xbox.
I don't agree with that because I think you can still have an opinion and – yes, I will firmly admit that I am right in the Xbox camp. I love Game Pass. I think it is one of the best things out there. And I'm a guy that likes my physical copies. Like, I am not I am someone who does not like DRM, digital rights management, which is the software they put on games to prevent them from being copied and stuff like that. And it's especially bad in PC games.
Yeah.
So if we're going to, like, use, say, Black Ops 3, for example, this is on the this is US potentially as well. I'm just getting a price for you. Now, I think this is the US store, not the Australian one. Black Ops 3 Zombies Deluxe, $100. How do we feel about that for a game that's been out since 2015?
No, don't want it.
Like, that's, you know, I don't even think it's a PlayStation like thing.
No.
I think it's across all consoles though, isn't it?
Like but it's I think it's rather prevalent in Sony at the moment because they're finally releasing some exclusives on another platform and they're charging so much for them.
Activision acquisition, May. If it, it's inevitable. It will happen, and potentially Game Pass will have Call of Duty on it.
Mm. I think that rough. that'll come, but I also don't think they'll stop selling it on other platforms.
Mm. No, I don't think so either.
But yeah, anyway. we got a long way off topic there somehow.
Yeah, I can't remember. Great. How do we? We were talking about
Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about Marvel games. That's how we got there.
We'll connect the dots back.
Jesus, so that was some mental gymnastics to get over to where we were.
Excited. what else are we?
Well, I think there's only one more thing to really talk about.
Something that's 2 weeks away.
Yeah, just over 2 weeks, I think. Yeah. But it's so. Oh my god, I'm getting so excited, like, because it packs. PAX is just around the corner. And, like, I'm excited to get over there and meet so many people. I'm excited for the panel that myself and Stormy are going to be on for how to do a charity stream with representatives from Wargaming, Game on Cancer, and Movember as well. But we have another announcement that we're ready to talk about, and that is that we have a Goa community meetup. So we've gotten a nice space at PAX from 4:30 to 5:30 Melbourne time on the 8th of October, so that's the Saturday, in the Ibis Community Room, just for us. And all the lovely people that we know from PAX, or that are going to be at PAX, that want to come and say hello.
Yeah, because I know in our, because if you don't know Game On Oz, we do have a Discord server as well. There's been a lot of chat about, you know, when are we going to do, you know, some meetups, and, you know, you guys did a meetup in Perth, here in Perth
we
recently.
We did, and we missed you.
I know, I'm so sorry. But I will definitely make it all up to
next
you
time.
PAX weekend, or another time, of course. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think this is really great. It's been such a long time, especially since having no physical PAX, and with COVID and stuff, it's stopped us from getting to see everyone. So if you're coming to PAX, it would be great to see everyone again, which would be really cool. And obviously, like, there's some of us who are new here as well. So it would be nice to meet people for the first time, but people that have been around with Goa for a while, you should really – you can actually download the PAX app. Mm-hmm. Now, with community meetups, I don't think it's there, but – in your calendar on your phone, just maybe pencil in 4:30 Ibis community room.
Definitely, because we'll be having lots of fun, not only meeting each other, talking to people, but we'll have some sneaky giveaways. So keep a lookout for that.
Simicat, thank you for the sub. DJ Drifter said, okay, so can't do meetup without a ticket. I'm sure closer to the time we'll be around. Like, all of us will be doing our own thing after PAX.
This particular meetup, yes, you'll need a ticket to PAX.
It's inside PAX. But I'm pretty sure, like, all day Saturday I'm going to be wearing my Goa shirt. I know that you guys will be. Mm. So if you see us with our Game On Oz shirts on, please come and say hi. Mm. We don't bite.
We'll also mention the article that you did as well about events happening around PAX as well.
So
that's a really good article,
thank
by the
you.
Way.
I've been adding to it.
So I would say check out Doomy's article.
So it's my PAX side quest guide. So it's listing all kinds of events, free, ticketed, RSVP'd, whatever it is, that will be held during PAX or over those 3 days. And so there's already some – well, actually, there's actually some – I've added one for Thursday night, so 4 really. So, yeah, I'm constantly adding to that. So, and it will be ramping up. Like this coming, like over this week, next week as well. So please feel free to have a peruse of that.
Yeah, I would say maybe keep an eye out, because I'm sure, like, we'll also, of course, be doing our own things while we're out, but I'm sure there'll be inevitable nights or evenings where we do bump into each other in one spot. But I would say just maybe DJ Drifter or anyone who doesn't have a ticket to PAX, maybe just keep an eye on Goa socials in case anything else does get organised.
Yep.
But this is the main one.
Yep. So anybody that's going to be at PAX, we'd love to meet you.
I'm so excited. Have you guys been to Melbourne before?
To Melbourne, yes. PAX, no.
I haven't been to PAX before, but I did go to Melbourne when I was about 17, I think.
Oh.
Been to Melbourne a few times. I went earlier this year for the World of Tanks ANZPL Grand Final.
Oh.
I actually went in 2005, I want to say. Might have been 6. Whenever the Eagles won the grand final, because I went to the MCG and watched my football team win a grand final. So I'm very happy about that.
Very good.
And a few other times as well.
Oh, this is what I was going to say before I got sidetracked in my own train of thought.
If you don't want to miss the panel that Jim and I are on with the people from Game on Cancer, Movember and Wargaming, there is a PAX app that you can download now where you'll see all the panels that are available over the weekend. You can actually add it to your schedule and you can even give yourself a bit of a reminder, so the app will send a little notification 15 minutes or, you know, a little bit of time beforehand just so you don't miss us. I've also posted a little message in our panel page on the app as well, so say hi or leave a little comment in there so we know who to look out for if you're going to come and say hi to us then.
Well, I think that that's about all we have to say for tonight. Great to have you with us tonight, Doomy. Glad we could work it in. So for those who don't know, Doomy lives not in Perth. She lives rural Perth, a little bit far away, but she happened to be here over the weekend, so we thought we'd get her in and say hello.
Thought I'd hang out for a little while.
I love that we've been having more Goa people come through the studio like within the last few months. That's been really, really cool.
I think it's great. I love showing off our space to people and love getting new people onto the podcast. And
It's been awesome. It's very, you know, I always watch your stream and, yeah, it's nice to see it alive in action. It's very good.
See how chaotic it is. Yeah. It's like, we're just going to talk about stuff.
Here, Doomy. Stand on a box for an hour.
Yes, sorry. Can I just point out, Doomy?
Okay.
Hold on, can we? On a box as well.
Hold on. This is how.
Okay.
That's very deflating.
In fairness.
Not just me.
In fairness, I did say that I would sit down tonight to bring my level down.
But it just seems too low.
For anyone who thinks that I'm just really short, it's not just me.
No,
I'm just like really tall.
Yeah. In general.
Yeah,
but yeah, just Pete and Jim are really tall. So
yeah, when I first met Jim in person, I was actually really surprised how tall he was. I was not expecting that. So and it's probably because of your box, Stormy.
Yeah, I've thrown everyone's perception of heights and stuff off. So when you see us at PAX, we're going to appear a lot shorter probably than what you think.
Yeah, take at least half a foot off.
Yeah, I would.
Sometimes literally just come up with a chainsaw, just half a foot gone.
Like my actual foot?
Maybe. I don't know. That's such a joke. I know, it sounded like a good joke to make in my head, all right? You know what, let's end this here before I just open my mouth to change feet and myself. Another foot joke, huh?
Put his foot
in there.
Stop it.
Go
to bed.
I think I need to. Been a big day. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thank you, Aussie Broadband, for the Bloody Good Games of the Week segment, and we will see everybody next week. Bye.
Bye.